We're turning God's Word tonight to Acts chapter 4. Acts 4, we read the first 12 verses of the chapter. You should know something about the context, though, because chapter 4 begins, "As they spake unto the people." The "they" there is Peter and John. They were preaching in the temple, and that was after they healed the lame man in the temple, and that gave them the opportunity at that time to preach the gospel there in the temple, but the leaders of the Jews were not happy about that, and that's where we pick it up in chapter 4. "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner." And now the words of the text. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Thus far, we read God's Word. The text that we look at is getting at this question. How does one get to heaven? What's the way to heaven? Are there many ways? Is there only one way? That's an important question. The question is important, especially when we see and understand our sinfulness and that we are in need of a way of salvation. That question is important when you face death and the reality of death and what is there beyond death. Is there heaven? Is there a way to heaven? What is that way to heaven? The world in which we live has answers to that question. If you would poll most people in our country today, they would tell you that they believe that they are going to heaven, that they believe that there is a heaven. But also many of those whom you poll might believe as well that there is no hell, or that if there is a hell, there are only very few people in the end who will go there. That's reserved for those who are really bad in the world. If you ask them on what they base their hope, why do you believe that you're going to heaven? No doubt many of them would say, well, I've lived a pretty good life. I've done some good things. And because I've done some good things, surely a God who is a loving God wouldn't send me to hell or anybody else to hell who's done some good things. Also, there is another answer that's found in the world today. Even by those who confess the name of Jesus Christ, they would say, well, in the end, there are many ways to heaven. Heaven is the final destination to which all roads lead. So it doesn't matter what religion you practice. It doesn't matter what God you serve. And in the end, it doesn't even really matter if you serve a God at all. In the end, it all leads to heaven. So if you've lived a pretty good life and you have good intentions in your life as well, in the end, they think that they will go to heaven. But we're not interested tonight in what the world says. We're interested tonight in what the Bible has to say about this question. How can one get to heaven? And the Bible answers that question in the text that we consider tonight when it says to us that salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. There's salvation only in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's salvation only for those who are united to Jesus Christ with the true and living faith. Everything else is a lie. Everything else is a delusion. Everything else is sinking sand. That's the beautiful truth of the Word of God. There's salvation only in Jesus Christ. But we have to understand tonight that when we make that confession and say that based on the Holy Scriptures, that the world in which we live hates that confession. It hates such a statement. Because they hate that idea of anything exclusive, anything that's alone or only. They would like to hear us say, well, Jesus is one way, but there are other ways. But we have to stick with what the Word of God says, and the Word of God says, Jesus is the only way. Now we have to understand these words that Peter confesses here in Acts 4, verse 12, in the context of what's going on. I mentioned that just briefly as we began reading the passage tonight. These were the words that were spoken by Peter before the council of Jewish leaders who had already threatened Peter not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ, not to preach his resurrection from the dead. But Peter and John had gone into the temple. They had gone into the temple at a time of prayer when there would be many people there, and they healed a man who was lame. This man had been lame for his entire life. This man had been known as a lame man, so he was begging at the gate of the temple, and he was known among people, and now Peter and John healed him, not in their own strength, but in the strength of Jesus Christ, as Peter himself says. And that was an occasion for many people to come around Peter and John there at the temple, and that was an occasion then for them to preach the gospel. And they did. They preached, calling to repentance. They called the Jews to repentance for their denial of Jesus Christ and their demanding before Pilate that he be put to death. And in the end, at the very end of chapter 3, you find that they preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even though Jesus had died, he was not still dead, but he is living. He's a living Savior who rose from the dead. That's when the leaders of the Jews swooped in. This word that Peter and John spoke in the temple was offensive to them. It was offensive because they preached about Jesus' death at their hands and his resurrection from the dead. So they took Peter and John out of the temple and they put them in the prison for the night, let them sit there for a while. And then the next day they take them before this great gathering of the council of Jewish leaders. And then they ask them the question, as we read it there in Acts 4, verse 7, by what power or by what name have ye done this? And Peter answers, not with his own words, but notice Peter, as he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he answers him, or answers them, and says that this miracle was done by the power of Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is the name that Peter declares. Not only is Peter preaching here, but Peter is making a confession of his faith. And essentially tonight, this is at the very heart of the confession of faith that we've heard tonight. And what Peter says here in Acts 4 verse 12 is at the very heart of the Christian faith. It's at the very heart of the gospel and true Christianity that there is salvation only in one, and that one in whom there is salvation is Jesus Christ. And that means that there's hope and comfort only in Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to see tonight. We want to understand it even from that perspective in a very real and practical way. There's hope and comfort for us in our sin. There's hope and comfort in death only in Jesus Christ. So we consider tonight the only way of salvation. We look first at the salvation we need. Secondly, the only one who can save. And finally, the certain way. First, the salvation we need. Secondly, the only one who can save. And finally, the certain way. The question we must first answer tonight is, what is salvation? Salvation is this. It's to be delivered from the greatest evil and to be given the highest good. It's to be delivered from the greatest evil and to be given the highest good. Well, what is the greatest evil? Again, if you polled people today, if you conducted a poll outside the doors of Walmart some night, and you asked outside the doors of Walmart, what is the greatest evil of our day? Consider some of the answers that you might get to that question. Some might say, it's poverty. Others might say, it's our corrupt government and the taxes that they place upon us and the laws that they make that take away the liberties that we have and that we need. Others might say, it's sickness and disease that you find in the world today. Others may point to certain people and say, the greatest evil today is this group of people. And some might say, in our postmodern age, that the greatest evil is intolerance. People who are completely intolerant of other people, who say that they know the truth and that there is only one way. But again, we're not so concerned with what people outside of Walmart, how they might answer that question. We're concerned with what the Bible says is the greatest evil, not only of our day, but in all the history of the world. And the greatest evil is sin. Sin, because sin is rebellion against God. Sin is to miss the mark purposely and deliberately of God's glory and living to glorify Him. Sin is the awful rebellion of taking God off of His throne in our own minds and placing ourselves on that throne, saying that we will determine what is right for ourselves. And sin is the greatest evil, you see, because sin makes us worthy of God's wrath. Because of sin, we are deserving of God's judgment in hell forever. That's the greatest evil. It's sin. But what's the greatest good? Again, if you were to poll people outside of Walmart, what would they say? What's the greatest good? Well, on their way into a store, on their way out, they might say, well, if I could have a bunch of the things in there, that would be great. If I had money to pay for those things, that would be great. That would be the greatest good. If I had a new car and a new computer and a big screen TV, then everything would be set for me. Others might say, the greatest good would be world peace. Everybody getting along would be maybe the eradication of poverty. It would be more tolerance in the world today. But again, we go with what the Bible says. There are all these other answers out there, but what does the Bible say? The Bible says the greatest evil is sin. The Bible also says that the greatest good is life with God. It's life with God. That's what we read, for example, in Psalm 73. Psalm 73, at the very end of the chapter, in verses 25 and 26, where the psalmist says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. What the psalmist is saying is that God is everything for me. And if I don't have God, then I have nothing. But with God and in life with God, I have everything. He's saying God is the highest good. That's also what we read in Matthew 19, verse 17. Matthew 19, verse 17, where Jesus, in response to the rich young ruler, says, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. God is good. And therefore, the highest good is to know God and to know fellowship and life with Him, to have friendship with Him. Because God is good. Life with God is good. In fact, it's the highest good. There's nothing sweeter than that. There's nothing greater than that in all our lives. So what that means then is salvation is to be delivered from the evil of sin and to be given the highest good of life with God. Salvation is to be delivered from the guilt and punishment of sin. You see, salvation is not learning good habits. Salvation is not being a better person. Salvation is not being a nicer guy or a nicer woman, a better husband or a better wife. It's not some extreme makeover in which I look differently than I once did. But salvation is having the guilt and punishment of sin removed. It's to have the debt of my sin paid for in full. It's to be spared from the punishment of that I deserve for my sins. It's to be pardoned, to be made righteous before God. But it's more. Salvation is to be radically changed in heart and in life so that I'm no longer a slave of sin, but a slave of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we don't sin anymore, but sin no longer rules in me. But instead, the life of Christ rules. But salvation is more than to be delivered from something. Salvation goes higher than that. What salvation gives is it gives life with God forever. It's to be brought in the presence of God. And just consider how wonderful that is. There's nothing higher and better than that than to live with God. Because in the end, to live with God is to live with God without sin. And it's to live with God without any enemies. It's to live with God in heaven in perfection. And to see our Savior face to face, to be in the presence of Jesus forever. You see, salvation is to be, in the end, brought home. To be brought home to heaven, where we will serve the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Tonight, we've heard a good confession that this salvation is mine. Courtney made that confession. This salvation is mine. I know it. I've been delivered from the greatest evil. And I have the greatest good. She joins the company of those who have made that very same confession. So that we tonight are reminded, yes, I have this salvation. And to hear that should not be something that's met with, oh yeah. But there's a wow factor to that, if I can put it that way. A wow factor to that. I'm saved. That's amazing. That's beautiful. That's an amazing gift that I've been given. And there's nothing better and there's nothing more precious than that. When we hear that, do we hear it with that wow factor? I'm saved. But the question that follows, and the main question of the text then, is this. But what is the way of that salvation? How are we saved? What is it that can wash away my sin? Or better, who is it that can wash away my sin? What is it that gives everlasting life with God? What can save from sin's guilt and punishment? What can give me peace with God and the pardon of all my sins and to know that I've escaped the wrath of God? Who can cleanse me from all my sins so that I'm clean? And the answer of the text is that there's only one way, and that way is really not a way. The way is who? There's only one who can save. And that one is Jesus Christ. That's what Peter is saying here in the text. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. So he's talking about salvation. We've looked at salvation. But what's the way? For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now notice how Peter's answering this question of the Jewish leaders. By what name, by what power do you do this? And he sets before them a name. What's the name that Peter sets before them? The name that Peter sets before them is the name Jesus. That name is significant in the understanding of the text. In fact, The entirety of the text and the truth that it's saying is based upon the meaning of that one name of our Savior. What does the name Jesus mean? Young people, you remember, what does it mean? Jehovah saves. Jehovah salvation. You have that concept of salvation there that we've already looked at, but the part of it I especially call our attention to tonight is the name Jehovah. This is the name in which there alone is salvation, because this name indicates that our Savior is God. He has the power and authority to save from sin. And Jesus is the only one in all the world that has the power and authority to save from sin. Because He is God. The Scriptures are full of that teaching. I'm not going to go through that tonight, but the entirety of the New Testament Scriptures and the Old Testament as well is pointing to this very truth that our Savior is God. And because He is God, He has the power and authority to save. Man cannot. Animals cannot. The philosophies of men cannot. The only one who can save is God. That is why the very heart of the Christian faith is believing who Jesus Christ is. That He is God become flesh. No one else is commissioned, qualified, or empowered to save but Jesus Christ alone. Salvation is found only in Him. The Old Testament is pointing to that very truth. That's what God was teaching Adam and Eve in the very beginning, after they fell into sin. And then God came to them with the promise that He would send the seed of the woman, and then He clothed them with those coats of skins. He was saying to them, there's salvation only in this seed of the woman to come, who we know is Jesus Christ. That was the message in the flood. But at the time of the flood, God's wrath was poured out in the world with that worldwide flood that killed everybody in the whole world and all the animals in the world except for 8 people, Noah and his family, and those animals that were in the ark. Where was the place of safety at the time of the flood? It was not in the highest mountain. It was not in the treetops. It was not in a tower that was made by man. It was not in a lifeboat or in a raft. The only place of safety was in the ark. There was only one place of safety. And so also today we understand there's only one place of safety when it comes to the wrath of God. And that place of safety is to be under the Lord Jesus Christ and united to Him. When God sent the fiery serpents into the camp of the people of Israel, and those venomous serpents, those snakes, were biting the people of Israel and they were dying, what was the only way to be saved? It was to look at that brass serpent that God told Moses to make and to hang upon that pole, which was a picture we know from John 3 of Jesus being lifted up on the cross. So the Old Testament is pointing, Jesus is the only way of salvation. That's the truth of the New Testament Scriptures as well. John 14, verse 6, in which Jesus says in one of those I am statements, I am the way and the truth and the life. And the idea is, I'm the only way, I'm the only truth, I'm the only life, the only way to have that truth and life. There are other passages too. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, there we read, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the only foundation. The only foundation of the church, the only foundation of our lives is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then 1 John 5, 11 and 12. 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12, we read there, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's life only to be found in Jesus Christ. Question for us tonight is this: do we understand that? Do we believe that? And do we live this? What this means for us tonight is that salvation rests alone in Christ. In your daily lives, who's the rock that you run to? Who's our comfort in the darkness of sin and affliction? In whom do you place your trust on a daily basis when there are great struggles in your homes and in your lives? Tonight we have to understand that what the Word of God says to us tonight is that we must cast away everything else in which we might place our trust. You see, salvation is not partly in Christ and then partly in my own works. It's not partly in Christ and partly my obedience. It's not partly in Christ and partly in the things of this world that bring me some kind of comfort and hope at the moment that I need it. No, Christ alone is the ground of our salvation. He's the solid rock, which is the foundation of our lives. And if there's anything that drives that home, what drives that home in our lives is the reality of sin and the reality of death. Sin. Sin deserves God's wrath. What's going to save me from that? I can't earn my way out of everlasting damnation. God alone can do it. When there's death, and it's real, and that body is there, and that body that once was alive is now lifeless, and we face the reality of our own mortality, and that we will die, what is the only hope that we have? It's salvation in Jesus Christ. Very plainly, Peter in the text is saying that the way of salvation is found exclusively in Jesus Christ. You can put it this way. Peter is saying here in the text, you may search high and low. You may search all over in the creation. You may search all over in heaven itself, even in all the religions of the world, and you will find none other who can save you from your sins and give you heavenly life with God. There's none other. Now, in the world in which we live today, this is a word that the world does not want to hear and hates to hear, in fact. This goes along with the conference that we had here Friday night as we live in a postmodern culture. Postmodernism essentially in the end teaches this, that man makes his own God and man makes his own truth, and much of that is based upon his own feelings and emotions. And part of this postmodern culture today is pluralism. The idea that all the different religions that are found in the world today are all different ways that lead to the same place, heaven. They're like all different spokes on a wheel that are all leading to the hub. It doesn't matter which spoke you're on. It doesn't matter which religion you practice. They all lead to the same place. So the world in which we live doesn't want to hear this exclusive language. It doesn't want the word only. It doesn't want the word alone. It doesn't want to hear this word of Peter that's found in the text that we consider tonight, that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Everything's open to salvation, they would say. What Peter is saying here, Jesus doesn't put himself in a line with other saviors and simply claim to be the best one. But instead, Jesus says there is no line. There are no other saviors. He is the only savior. And the reason that this is true is because truth cannot coexist with that which is false. The world wants to say it can. You can have Christianity as one way with all the other religions, and that which is true and that which is false can exist together. Peter is saying here in the text, no, that's not true. What's true and what's false can't exist together. There is only one truth, and this is truth. Jesus Christ alone saves. But the world in which we live wants to say, yeah, Christ saves, but He's not the only one. And don't be so quick to say that He is the only one. In fact, what it comes down to is this. The world in which we live will say this. We'll tolerate a gospel in which you say that Jesus saves. We can deal with that. If you would say Jesus saves in the world today, they can deal with that. But the moment you say He's the only one who saves, they say, we can't deal with that. That's not right. That's not true. There are many different ways. But that's not the Word of God. Peter is condemning that thinking of the world today. Some would say today, well, that's uncharitable. That's not being kind. Is it? Is that true? No, it's not. In fact, it's uncharitable and unkind if we don't say to the people of the world today, there is only one way. It's uncharitable and unkind if we don't say that. It's kind and loving to the world in which we live today to say to them, salvation is found only in Christ. Think about it in the text. Is Peter saying to the Jews that he's speaking to right here, these leaders of the Jews? Well, your system of works righteousness is okay. And what I believe about salvation is okay. And it really doesn't matter which one we believe in. Well, that's not what Peter's saying. He's saying there's only one way. It's not in the works righteousness you teach. It's found only in Jesus Christ. But beloved, as we hear that word tonight, it's easy for us to look at the world around us and say, well, there it is. They don't believe that. They don't understand that. We should have in our hearts a burden to tell other people about the only one who can save, so that by the grace of God that they would know that. That they would be called to repentance and called to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. But now this is where we have to see that this word, though, applies to us in our lives each and every day. The Word of God speaks to us tonight and says that we must shed all those other things that we may trust in for some kind of salvation. We might think tonight, yeah, but we don't believe in works righteousness. Well, we have to understand there are things that we lean upon in our lives that indicate, even though we may not believe in works righteousness, there's something that we battle against in our own lives every day. There are many different messages in the church today. There's one that goes like this. I believe in Jesus. I believe He is my Savior. But believing in Jesus and that He's my Savior doesn't really have to interfere in the way that I want to live my life. It doesn't have to interfere with that. He can be my Savior and I can pretty much do what I want. Jesus is accommodating to my lifestyle and to the way that I want to live. He lets me be who I am, and He accepts me for who I am. I believe in Him. I know He saved me from my sins. I know I'll be in heaven one day. But along with that, I can live how I want. That's not believing and understanding that salvation is found alone in Jesus Christ. That's a delusion. That's delusion found on man's feelings. But now we have to look at ourselves. Does that happen to us? Then certain parts of our lives, we think that we can hold on to sin, knowingly hold on to sin, and, well, it's okay. That's just who I am. That's not trusting alone in Jesus Christ for our salvation, understanding He's a complete Savior who not only saves from the punishment of sin, but He's a Savior who's Lord, and He changes my life and changes my heart. We have to hear this as well tonight. There's no salvation in works. In particular, there's no salvation that's based on faith or repentance. Now, don't get me wrong. Faith and repentance are necessary. You must believe in Jesus Christ, and you and I must repent of our sins. But we must because they're the fruits of salvation. But what's the cause of my salvation? What's the basis of my salvation? Not my works. Not faith, not my repentance. The cause and the basis of my salvation is alone the cross of Jesus Christ. We need to hear this, because works righteousness is found in our sinful natures. We're like Adam, when his first response to sin was not to repent and trust that God would save. His first response was to cover himself. And that can often be our first response to sin. How can I cover myself? Maybe sometimes, how can I cover it up with a lie? How can I cover it up with doing something good and nice? If I've hurt someone, well, I'll be nice to them and that'll make up for the bad that I did. That's not true Christianity. That's not believing in Jesus Christ and that He alone saves. In fact, we can make this to sound very pious sometimes. I trust in Christ and I've gone a long way and I've lived a pretty good life. I know there are some failures in my life, but Jesus Christ is there to pick up the slack. If that's what you believe about Jesus, you don't believe the true Jesus. We don't have a Jesus who just picks up the slack when we failed a little bit in what we've done. No, when we understand and believe and know the true Jesus Christ, we understand it's nothing in me. I'm to the end of myself. There's nothing that I bring and present before God that makes me justified in His sight and that saves me before Him. It's all the work of Jesus Christ. In our everyday lives, that needs to be lived. Beloved, are we living that in our lives each day? Are we living even what we sang tonight? That when there are troubles and struggles in our lives, where do we go to? We often are like the psalmist who wants to flee far away. His fleeing far away was not the right reaction, as we sang of that a little while ago. That was a wrong reaction. What he was thinking is, I just need an escape from all of this. If I just get some distance and get away, everything will be okay. How much don't we think that in our lives? Give me some distance. If I turn to this, this will help me get through the moment right now. And there are all kinds of things that people turn to. Food, drinking, drugs, alcohol, pornography, and the list can go on and on. Those are some of the main ones, but it can go on and on that we turn to those things when we're stressed and under pressure in life. We're burdened and weary in our lives. Where do we go? The Word of God says to us tonight that Jesus Christ is the only foundation, the only rock. That's a struggle going forward. Not just for Courtney, but for each one of us as we go forward in our Christian lives. Do we truly, every day, moment by moment, trust in Christ for all that we need? Tonight, as we understand and hear this Word of God, that there is salvation only in Jesus Christ, we see and know tonight too with great certainty that Christ is the only way. The text is a strong, declarative sentence of truth and fact. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a confession of certainty. Peter believes this from the depths of his heart and in the depths of his soul. This is the rock solid confidence that he has as he stands before these enemies. And he doesn't know what they're going to do to him. But in the end, he doesn't really care because he knows that the Lord is with him and the Lord is caring for him. He has certainty right at this moment. And that shows us as well tonight that there is a certain way of salvation. The way that is put by many today is that the way of salvation is that Jesus is the perfect example. And if you just follow in His footsteps and follow in His way, then everything will be okay. That's not the idea here of the way. But the way in which Jesus saves us is this. First of all, He shows us our sin. We become weary and burdened by our sin. so that when we look at our lives and we seek to identify the problem of our lives at this very moment, we see and understand the problem is sin. And the problem is my own sin. That's the way. Jesus shows us our sin. But the beauty of the work of Jesus Christ is that He doesn't leave us there. But He also draws us to Himself. He draws us to the fountain of His blood. And He works in us then the knowledge that He has paid for our sins. And He works in us as well a desire to will and to do of His good pleasure so that we desire to serve and honor Him. This is the complete and certain way of salvation. Seeing our sins, believing in Christ, and turning from sin so that we walk in a desire to obey Him in all of life. And when we see that work of Jesus Christ and we're drawn to Him, then we see and understand the certainty of it as well. The certainty rests on this. God our Father gave His Son. And our Savior Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, gave His life. And the cross of Jesus Christ was not a mistake. The cross of Jesus Christ was not simply a place where all the cruelty of the world was poured out on Jesus Christ. No, the cross of Jesus Christ was the place where God's wrath was poured out for our sins, so that the cross is real and powerful salvation. It was eternally planned by God that His Son would take our place on the cross of Calvary and actually die for our sins. And now we see and know Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, because He has accomplished that work of God. That's how the hymn goes. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. All to Him I owe. He washed me white as snow. The confession we heard tonight was a confession of that certainty. Beautiful confession of that certainty. I'm a sinner, but a sinner saved by grace. That's our confession tonight. Sinners saved by grace, saved alone in the blood of Jesus Christ. Beloved, in those days, in those moments when you think all hope is lost, when your sins seem too great, and the burdens and trials of life wear on you, and they're a heavy weight and burden upon you, believe the words of this text. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the name of Jesus Christ that has been set before us tonight. Wilt Thou convict us in our own hearts and souls of where we have not trusted in Christ like we should have. And we pray, Father, that Thou wilt also grant us strength then to trust in Thee and in Christ alone for all that we need. And we thank Thee, Father, for the good news that we hear in that tonight. The good news that's found alone in Jesus Christ, that there is life with Thee, our God, through Him. May that be a conviction that lives in our hearts and that gives us hope and comfort in our lives each day. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.